الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention, to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them in the righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with the tafsir of Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah, tafsir Surah Al-Baqarah verse 151 in particular. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كما 151 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروني ولا تكفرون. Verse 151, 152, please.
Similarly, to complete the meeting from you, we have sent among you a messenger from Allah, whom reciting to you our verses, the Quran, and purifying you, and teaching you the book, the Quran, and the Hikmah.
Sunnah
Islamic rules and fake jurisprudence, and teaching you that which you use, not to know. Therefore, remember me by praying, glorifying, I will remember you and be grateful to me for my countless favors on you, and never be ungrateful to me.
Barakallah feek. يقول تعالى إن إنعامنا عليكم باستقبال الكعبة وأتمامها بالشرائع والنعم المتممة ليس ذلك ببدع من إحساننا ولا بأوله، بل أنعمنا عليكم بأصول النعم ومتمماتها فأبلغها إرسالنا إليكم هذا الرسول الكريم منكم تعرفون نسبه وصدقه وأمانته وكماله ونصحه. It's basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, as we had bestowed our favors upon you by commanding you to turn in direction towards Al-Kaaba, and by fulfilling or completing our waalaikum salam, our laws and the favors, this is not new, that favor from Allah by commanding the Muslims to turn towards Al-Kaaba is not the first time that Allah has bestowed His favors upon the Muslims. This is not an innovation, it's not an introduction in this sense. Rather, this is something that is already known. And it is not the first time. Rather, Allah had bestowed upon us the foundations of the deen and that which completes that. And the most fundamental of that is sending the messenger, this noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst us, whom we know, or back then they knew his lineage, they knew his truthfulness, they knew his him keeping the trust, being trustworthy, that is, and his perfection sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and him being sincere in advice. This was something that was known among them. It's not like the Prophet Muhammad had a bad reputation. Because had that been the case, then people would argue. You know, they say, okay, this man is known for lying. He's known for being a problem, you know, troublemaker. So if he claims that he's a messenger of Allah, then of course people are going to say, this is just one of your stunts. But when they had known him to be such a righteous, good individual, who was never known to have lied, as it was the case with Abu Sufyan and Heraclius. When Abu Sufyan went to Heraclius back then, who was a Christian and he had learned the scriptures of Christianity, and Abu Sufyan had went there and so on some business to Sham, to the land of Sham, and then they heard that the Prophet Muhammad had sent a letter. They had sent a letter to the king of the Romans, inviting him to Islam. So anyways, he knew Heraclius, he knew that Abu Sufyan and his companions were on that visitation to that land. So he requested that they visit him in his palace. And so they did. Then he brought them near and he told them, who amongst you is closest in relation to this man who claims to be a messenger? Abu Sufyan said, I am. He said, I would be asking you some questions regarding him. Then he told his companions, of course he had a translator. He didn't speak Arabic. He told his workers, his translator, tell him, I'm going to ask him these questions. If he lies, then let his friends indicate that he lied. His friends will stand behind him. If he was to tell a lie about the Prophet Muhammad, his friend will expose him. Abu Sufyan said, back then, I had the intention to lie. I wanted to lie. Had I not been afraid that my companions will call me a liar, I'll be disgraced among them, I would have lied. But now he was put on the spot. He can no longer lie. So then Heraclius, he posed some questions to him. So he asked him many questions. Among them, was there anyone among his family who was a king before? He told him no. He said, was he known for lying before? He said no. He said, what is he ordering you to do? He said, Abu Sufyan told him, he's ordering us to worship Allah alone and worship none with him, to keep our kinship ties, establish the prayer, pay the zakah, and to be kind. Then he asked him, do people, who are following him, the poor or the rich? He said, the poor. He said, when the people enter into his religion, do they renounce it later on? Or do they remain in that religion? He said, no, they remain. He said, have you been fighting with one another? He said, yes. He said, does he ever betray? He said, no, he never betrayed us. He said, who are winning the battles? He said, sometimes we win, and sometimes the Prophet Muhammad wins. So anyways, he had an interview with him. And when it was all said and done, he told them, I asked you about his lineage and you said he comes from a noble family. And as such, all the apostles of God come from a noble family. I asked whether any one of his family members had been a king before. You said no. I say, had one of his family members been a king before, I would think that this man trying to claim his ancestral kingdom. He's trying to claim what originally belonged to them. I asked who follows him, the poor or the rich? He told me the poor. And indeed, it is always those who follow the messengers. I asked you whether the people leave the religion after entering, and you said no. And as such, faith, once it mixes with the heart, people can no longer depart away from it until it's complete in all respects. Then he told him, he asked him all these questions, and Abu Sufyan had told him all of these answers. So when he asked him about the point of emphasis here, when he told him, does he lie? Was he known for lying? You said no. He told him, Heraclius, he said, if a man had not lied against the people, he did not lie against the people all these years, how is it that he will lie about God now? Someone all of these years, he didn't lie. He wasn't known as being a liar. He will leave lying on people and against people all these years. Then he will come up and lie against God. You know? So what did Heraclius conclude? That this is the messenger of Allah. He told them, this is the man that we were anticipating in the scripture, but we did not think that he would come from you, meaning the Arabs. They were expecting him to be a Jew, from the Jewish family tree. They were not expecting him to be an Arab. He said, we were not expecting him to be from you. And he said, verily, if what you are saying is true, he will own the land that is under my feet. And if I were to see him, I would go down and wash his feet. This is what Heraclius said. I would wash his feet. But then he ordered that they leave. When it was done, Heraclius shared that with his dignitaries, all these priests and all these, the religious people. And there was a great noise in that palace where they were. And people, they were almost about to kill Heraclius for what he had said. Then he basically got himself out by saying, I was just testing you to see how you would react. So he knew that he was the messenger of Allah, but he was afraid he would lose his position, so he stayed upon disbelief. And he died in this particular fashion. Whereas the Abyssinian king, Al-Najashi, when the news came to him, he embraced Islam. He accepted Islam. These were among the people that Prophet ﷺ sent letters to, inviting them to Islam, to show you the virtues of da'wah. So the point is, the Prophet ﷺ was known as being a trustworthy person. He was not known for lying. And his people knew that. So for him to suddenly become 40 years old when you are mature, when you are young, you say he's a teenager. When you're a 40-year-old man, you have respect among your people. You don't come up with silly lies. And you go against all of the people and denounce their gods and tell them that they are false and tell them you're going to the hellfire unless you have been chosen by God. unless you have received revelation. No human being will do this reasonably. So this is what is intended here. So they know him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَتْرُ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا. He recites upon you our verses. وَهَذَا يَعُمُّ الْآيَاتُ الْقُرْآنِيَّةِ وَغَيْرَهَا. And that includes both the Quranic verses and otherwise. فَهُوَ يَتْرُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْآيَاتِ الْمُبَيِّنَةِ لِلْحَقِّ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ. So the Messenger of Allah recites upon you the ayat which distinguish between the truth and the falsehood. وَالْهُدَى مِنَ الضَّلَالِ. And they distinguish between the guidance and deviance. الَّتِي دَلَّتْكُمْ أَوَّلًا عَلَىٰ تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ وَكَمَالِهِ. And the first thing that you were called to is the maintaining the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His perfection. ثُمَّ عَلَىٰ صِدْقِ رَسُولِهِ. Then about the trustworthy of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَوُجُوبُ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ. And the compulsory, the obligation of believing in Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ عَلَىٰ جَمِيعِ مَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ مِنَ الْمَعَادِ وَالْغُيُوبِ. Then also regarding everything that He informed us about pertaining to the day of judgment, that the appointment, the appointed day, وَالْغُيُوبِ, and the unseen. حتى حصل لكم الهداية التامة والعلم اليقيني. Until you had the complete perfect guidance and the firm knowledge of certainty. This was the outcome of the sending of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويزكيكم. And he purifies you. أن يطهر أخلاقكم ونفوسكم. Meaning he purifies your souls, your character and your souls. بتربيته على الأخلاق الجميلة. By raising you or instructing you regarding the most beautiful of conduct, having the best conduct. وتنزيه عن الأخلاق الرذيلة. And then purifying you and keeping you away from ill behavior, ill conduct. وذلك كتزكيته من الشرك إلى التوحيد. Such as purifying them from ascribing or setting up partners with Allah into Tawheed, maintaining the unity and the uniqueness of Allah by worshipping Him alone. وَمِنَ الرِّيَاءِ إِلَى الْإِخْلَاصِ. From showing off to sincerity. وَمِنَ الْكَذِبِ إِلَى الصِّدْقِ. From lying to truthfulness. وَمِنَ الْخِيَانَةِ إِلَى الْأَمَانَةِ. And from treachery to keeping the trust. وَمِنَ الْكِبْرِ إِلَى التَّوَاضُعِ. And from arrogance to humbleness. These were all the instruction of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his companions and his ummah. And look at these noble characters, trustworthy, worshipping Allah alone, being sincere, being humble, keeping the trust. ومن سوء الخلق إلى حسن الخلق. From bad character to good character. ومن التباغض والتآجر والتقاطع إلى التحاب والتواصل والتوادد. And from hating one another, abandoning one another, and boycotting one another, into loving one another, keeping the ties with one another, and loving one another. Or more love, tawadus, extreme love. وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ التَّزْكِيَةِ. And other forms of purification. These were taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many Muslims, alhamdulillah, abide by these teachings today. And many Muslims also do not. And so we, those of us involved in da'wah, we cannot afford to play with these ones. If the average Muslim does not act accordingly, then that's a problem. But at least the problem is limited to him. To some extent, he may affect the non-Muslims by his ill conduct to some extent. But the problem is when the people of da'wah are of this caliber or of this particular character, then this is much more harmful. When somebody does not act accordingly in his propagation of Islam, then obviously he may does more damage than good. So we really have to strive to keep our relationship tight, keep the brotherhood strong, love one another. The shaitan is always working with the du'at. When he's, the shaitan doesn't go to a bar and tell a man to get another, beer. Because he's already busted, drunk and, out of his mind. He will go to two people who are inviting to Islam and try to have them differ. Try to have them hate one another. You see what I'm saying? So then the da'wah loses its force and its power. Because the people in da'wah don't agree. And this is something that is visible amongst the different da'wah centers, unfortunately. What each da'wah center like to be independent from the others. You may not know this, you may know this, you may not know this. But there's more competition than working with each other. And what is expected of us is to work with one another to deliver the message of Islam to non-Muslims. Not to compete, wallah, we do this and you do that, and this is for us and this is for you. This is from the entrance, this is from the tricks of the shaitan. So we must be mindful of that. This is amongst the da'wah centers and within the da'wah center. Brothers working with one another should join forces and not find that the shaitan come in and make their hearts, repel from, there's a lot of issues going on. So inshallah we need to be more wise. Let the things go. Little things, let them go. Big things, address them. Don't assume that, this brother is no good. Speak to him. Seek advice from others. Maybe he has a reason. Maybe he has an excuse. And we need to have a broader view, inshallah. طيب. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ أَيِّ الْقُرْآنَ وَأَلْفَاظَهُ وَمَعَنِيهِ. And he teaches you the book, which means the Quran. Both the alfaz, the pronunciation, the uttering of the actual Quran, how to recite it, because we heard it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his companions moving on till today, وَمَعَنِيهِ, and the meanings of the Quran. See, he wasn't only teaching them how to memorize. Ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhu, at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would not memorize more than 10 verses at a time until they had learned what was involved in terms of rulings, teachings, wisdom, everything that was contained in these 10 verses. They learned everything concerning that. Once they had that down, understood, and in hand, then they moved on to the next 10 verses. So they were not just trying to memorize the Quran without putting it into practice. And the Prophet ﷺ did both. He taught them how to recite the Quran, and he taught them the meaning of the Quran. The things that needed clarification, that is. Some things are clear. Say it is Allah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Any human being, in any language you read this, you get the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and unique in His oneness. But there are other ayat that require clarification. For instance, the ayah where Allah says, verily those who believe and do not cover their faith with oppression, then they shall have security. Which means, in other words, those who believe and do cover or affect their faith with some oppression, they will not have security. Okay, they will not have security, which means the hellfire. So when the companions heard this ayah, they became concerned about what is going on. So they went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed them about this ayah. He said, how is that? Which one of us does not have oppression? Not right now. Is any one of you free from oppression? No. Each one of us has his own form of oppression, whether to himself or to the people. So they became aware. They said, wallah, we're all disqualified. None of us will have security because none of us does not have oppression. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, no. Have you not read the other ayah in the Quran when Luqman, the wise man, told his son, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verily, shirk, ascribing barnes to Allah, is great oppression. So what was intended in that ayah, in that dhulm, was shirk. يعني the ultimate sin. These are the ones who will not have security. Not the one who sins minor sins or even major sins, but not shirk, which is the greatest of all sins. So here we needed the interpretation of the Prophet Muhammad to understand what is intended by this ayah. Otherwise, somebody may use it out of context and claim that all Muslims will go to the hellfire. And this is why, some of these, as I was mentioning in our classes and in the other classes we're having, that we have a group of people who deny the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and they believe only in the Quran. And so, these are his means of refutation. طيب. القرآن ألفاظه ومعانيه. والحكمة قيل هي السنة. Hikmah is, it was said that it's the Sunnah, and this is the statement of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. Hikmah is Sunnah, يعني he teaches the Quran and the Sunnah. وقيل الحكمة معرفة أسرار الشريعة والفقه فيها. And it was said, والفقه فيها. It was said, Hikmah means knowing the secret.
Hikmah
in the word technically is wisdom. But it is interpreted at times as the Sunnah. When Allah says that the Prophet ﷺ teaches you the Quran, the Kitab, and the Hikmah, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah. But another meaning that is also included, Hikmah means the secret behind the legislation. يعني why was that legislated? What is the benefit? That's one. والفقه في and having understanding. يعني understanding why the law of Allah is as such. That's one meaning of the hikmah. وتنزيل الأمور منازلها and placing things in their proper place. فيكون على هذا تعليم السنة داخلا في تعليم الكتاب. Based on that, teaching the sunnah is included in teaching the Quran. لأن السنة تبين القرآن وتفسره وتعبر عنه. Because the sunnah, it clarifies the Quran, it explains it, and it interprets the Quran. That's what the sunnah does. And the example I gave you earlier was a classical example of that. How the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW explains what is intended by the meanings of the Quran. Another classical example is Allah says, establish the salah. It does not say how the salah should be established. Where do you learn that from? The sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW. So here the sunnah clarifies what the Quran generally taught. You see, the details, the intricate details of the teachings is found in the sunnah, which is also known as the hikmah. Wallahu a'lam. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. And he teaches you that which you had no knowledge of, that which you did not know before. لأنهم كان قبل بعثته في ضلال مبين لا علم ولا عمل. Because before the advent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were in manifest error. No knowledge and no deeds. They had no knowledge and no deeds. فكل علم أو عمل نالته هذه الأمة فعلى يده صلى الله عليه وسلم. Every knowledge or every deed that this ummah has acquired is through his hand صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبسببه كان. And due to him it was, of course, by the will of Allah. فهذه النعم هي أصول النعم على الإطلاق. So these bounties are the foundations of all bounties. This is the ultimate bounty that Allah has bestowed upon the Muslims. ولا هي أكبر نعم ينعم بها على عباده. فوظيفتهم شكر الله عليها والقيام بها. So this is the greatest bounty ever bestowed by Allah upon His slaves. And so our obligation then becomes our duty is to show thankfulness to Allah and to establish it in our lives. These bounties, we show thankfulness to Allah and we live according to them. We don't just simply say, well, that sounds nice. You know, oh wow, these are the teachings of Islam, but not for me. You know, this is for the guy down the street. No, actually each one of us has the obligation of putting that into practice, inshallah. فلهذا قال تعالى فاذكروني أذكركم. This is where Allah says, so remember me by the various forms of remembrance. أذكركم, I will remember you. فأمر تعالى بذكره ووعد عليه أفضل جزاء وهو ذكره لمن ذكره. So then Allah commanded that you remember him, and then he promised the best kind of reward, and that is that he remembers he who remembers him. Whoever remembers Allah, Allah will remember you. And that is a big deal. That is because if one of us remembers Allah, يعني, who are you? You know, at the end of the day, who is one of us? يعني, we're nothing in this universe. And everything remembers Allah. إن كل من في السماوات, Allah says, تسبح له السماوات السبع ومن فيهن وإن من شيء إلا يسبح بحمده ولكن لا تفقهون تسبيحه. سورة الإسراء, Allah says, the seven heavens and the earth glorify Him. And there isn't anything except that it glorifies Allah, but you do not understand their glorification. So Allah told us everything does subhanAllah. In the hal and in the maqal. In the nature of the thing, it's subhanAllah and it's actual statement. But you don't understand that. You don't hear that. Although the Prophet ﷺ, one of his miracles والسلام, is that the pebbles used to do tasbih in his hand. Al-hasa used to do tasbih in his hand sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then everything glorifies Allah. So if one of us remembers Allah, يعني one of the huge creation of Allah, which is already in the state of remembrance. And just enough for you is the angels. The angels, some of them have been, يعني, they've been worshipping Allah since Allah brought them into existence. And they will continue to worship Allah until it's all said and done. They have absolutely nothing to do but to worship Allah. So me and you, the sinful, the evil, the ones with the problems, if we remember Allah, يعني, we're still nothing. But look at the mercy of Allah. If you remember Him, Allah will remember you. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, will remember you. So this is a virtue beyond any virtue that you may think of. كما قال تعالى على لسان رسوله من ذكرني في نفسه ذكرته في نفسي ومن ذكرني في ملأ ذكرته في ملأ خير منهم. As Allah taught us through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his one of these narrations, that Allah says in the Hadith Qudsi, whoever remembers me within himself, then I will remember him. And whoever remembers me amongst the group of people, then I will remember him amongst the group of people that is better than them. Yani you remember Allah among the creation, Allah will remember you among the angels that are close to Him, Azza wa Jal. وَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَفْضَلُهُ مَا تَوَاطَأَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَلْبُ وَاللِّسَانِ وَهُوَ الذِّكْرُ الَّذِي يُثْمِرُ مَعْرِفَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَحَبَّتَهُ. And the best form of dhikr is the one that brings harmony between the tongue and the heart. Okay? These two must be harmonious when you remember Allah. Not simply with the tongue, without being mindful. The heart, يعني the mind here. The heart, يعني you're mindful of dhikr. You see? And the other side is when you remember Allah in your heart or in your mind, without actual moving the tongue. So the best kind is the one that is in harmony. You say, Subhanallah. And when you say Subhanallah, you mean it. You see? That's the point here. You actually mean Subhanallah. Now can you have to learn what it means. Subhanallah means exalting Allah high above any imperfection. Any imperfection. Glorifying Allah above any imperfection. Meaning any deficiency, Allah is free from that. That is what glorifying Allah means. Meaning you are saying that there's nothing like Allah. Any deficiency, Allah does not have. Any weakness, Allah does not have. Anything of this nature, Allah is free from all of that. That's tasbih. Alhamdulillah, everybody knows us praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of His qualities, His names and attributes, because He deserves the praise. And la ilaha illallah means there's no God worthy of worship except Allah. Wallahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Meaning whatever is great, Allah is greater. So these are the meanings of the things that we say often after the salah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. So it is necessary that we learn their actual meaning. So when we say them, it will be both the tongue along with the mind. Which means that as we've notified often before, this act that you see done after the salah is actually not in consistence with the Prophet Muhammad's way of remembering Allah, which is very quick tasbih. And sometimes you can hardly even keep up with the brother's movement of the thumb, like that's all you hear. And now, you know, na'am, yes, you've done some tasbih, but come on now. Did you even think about one of them? You see what I'm saying? So then, you know, what is expected of us is to say, to the best of our ability, of course, walaikum salam, to the best of our ability to say, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Like that, subhanAllah. We finished that 33 times. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Because you cannot imagine the Prophet ﷺ remembering Allah in any other way. You cannot imagine him going through, you know, the Speedy Gonzalez style, you know, trying to work out his muscles of his fingers. And so similarly, we like to, you know, have that same attitude. So whenever you see people doing it in this fashion, that does not mean that this is correct. Because the Shaykh said the best form of dhikr is when your heart is in harmony with your tongue, and that cannot be done if you say subhanallah like that. You know, your heart cannot keep up with your tongue. طيب وهو الذكر الذي أن it is the form of remembrance which will produce loving Allah, knowing Allah and loving Him عز وجل. وكثرة ثوابه and abundance of reward. والذكر هو رأس الشكر and remembering Allah is the head of thankfulness. يعني it's on the top of the list in terms of thankfulness. The best way to thank Allah is by remembering Him عز وجل. فلهذا أمر به خصوصا this way Allah commanded that in particular. ثم من بعده أمر بالشكر عموما. Then Allah commanded us to be thankful to Him in on general terms. فقال واشكروا لي and be thankful to me. أي على ما أنعمت عليكم بهذه النعم. Meaning that which I have bestowed upon you from these favors. ودفعت عنكم صنوف النقم and I have kept away from you all kinds of calamities, all kinds of afflictions. وَالشُّكْرُ يَكُونُ بِالْقَلْبِ إِقْرَارًا وَبِالنِّعَمِ اِعْتِرَافًا بِالنِّعَمْ وَاَعْتِرَافًا. The thankfulness is acknowledgement of the heart, and regarding the bounties, acknowledging or admitting, confessing that Allah has bestowed these favors upon us. وَبِاللِّسَانِ ذِكْرًا وَثَنَاءً, and the tongue remembering Allah and praising Him. And of course, this is a reminder for us here that, you know, whenever Allah bestows a favor upon you, do not claim praise for yourself. Okay? So this is something that we should be mindful of. Whenever you have something, then always try to remind the people that it is Allah who has bestowed this favor. And you're not the one who deserves the praise, rather the praise is due to Allah. So you give some talk, you give some da'wah, you do something, and people come say, "Oh, mashallah, brother, you know, you're very good." You know, they start praising you. Then you remind them that praise is due to Allah. Say, "Alhamdulillah, it's all from Allah. I'm a tool. I'm a creation of Allah. I have no power, and you don't have any power. You, no one has any power, control. You may want to deliver a lecture, right? And you think you're ready, and you think you've memorized the evidences, and you think you've got everything going on, and you may sit down in front of the people and freeze. You can't. Some people have this kind of, you know, instances happen, you know, to them, where they, what they call it, stage fright or something like that. They become just, you know, they're in awe. And so they no longer can speak, and they start stuttering, and it just doesn't, you know, the message doesn't go across. This is an indication that no matter who you are, it is Allah who allows you to do what you do. And I remember our Shaykh, when he was asked in one of the duros, and you're talking about a Shaykh, man, who got the whole deen memorized, and somebody just blow your mind from the knowledge that Allah has given him. And when people asked him, you know, how did he get to this particular lofty status of knowledge of the deen and righteousness and piety and whatever, and all he did was praise Allah. He said nothing about himself. He didn't say, "Well, I've been, you know, did, and I studied hard, and I went this, I went that." He said, "It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is due to Allah. Wallah, this tongue doesn't speak unless Allah allows it to speak." All he did is he reminded people of Allah, as if he has nothing to do with it. And he doesn't. He does and he doesn't at the end of the day. But it is by the tawfiq and success given to him by Allah. And so this is yani part of showing thankfulness to Allah. So you say, for example, you give da'wah, and somebody embraces Islam, and you find it beneficial to share it with the people. Because the principle is that you shouldn't tell the people. The principle, you should not tell the people unless there's a benefit. And your intention is not to be praised, huh? Rather to try to excite them or encourage them to do da'wah. You must have a noble objective. Otherwise, if somebody embraces Islam, you don't go publicize that. You see, you don't go say, "Oh, mashallah, you know, 10 people I've given 10 shahadas." You meet people like this. They say, "Oh, you can work in da'wah. Oh, 20 people became Muslim through me." Say, "Subhanallah. If you did it for the sake of Allah, what do you want from me? Why are you telling me?" You shouldn't tell someone, honestly, unless the situation the situation requires that you mention that. At times, if you are in a particular position and people may take you as an example or something along these lines, and you find practical benefit and you're still sincere for the sake of Allah, then you may say, "Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me that a person embraced Islam through me." Huh? Pay attention. Allah has blessed me. Allah's favor upon me that I was involved in some da'wah and Allah guided this person to Islam. I only helped. You don't claim praise for yourself. And you don't make it seem like an independent achievement without the success given by Allah. So these are things that we must, the adab in speaking and addressing these issues, so no one will become a big head, and then, you know, you can no longer blow it up until they fly as a balloon in the air. Naam, Allah musta'an. طيب والشكر نعم يقول بالقلب وباللسان وبالجوارح طاعة لله وانقيادا لأمره. And thankfulness through the limbs is by obedience to Allah and submitting or complying with His commandments. واستنابا لنهي and avoiding His prohibitions. فالشكر فيه بقاء النعمة الموجودة. What are some of the practical immediate benefits of thankfulness to Allah is that the bounty will remain, it will last. If you are thankful to Allah, Allah will give you more and will keep that favor. And this is based on the ayah in the Quran, وزيادة في النعم المفقودة, and then increase in and bounties that you have not received yet. قال تعالى لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم. Allah says in Surah Ibrahim, I believe, if you show thankfulness, I shall increase you. If you show thankfulness, I will give you more. And لأزيدنكم, all these are for emphasis in the language. اللام والنون, it's called the توكيد, for emphasis. يعني Allah promised that if you show thankfulness, Allah will increase you. So this is يعني what is expected of us. If you, Allah bestowed a favor upon you, then you if you want to keep it, and if you want more, then put it into practice. Implement it in your life. Show thankfulness to Allah, and inshallah, Allah, as He promised, and Allah does not betray the promise, He will give you more, and He will give you things that you have not received before. وفي الاتيان بالأمر بالشكر بعد النعم الدينية من العلم وتزكية الأخلاق والتوفيق للأعمال بيان أنها أكبر النعم. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned being thankful to Him, after He mentioned the general religious bounties He has bestowed upon us, such as knowledge and purifying one's character and being given success to do more righteous deeds, now, then this shows that being thankful to Allah is one of the greatest of bounties. Allah giving you the ability or the means to be thankful to Him is one of the biggest bounties of Allah. بل هي النعم الحقيقية التي تدوم إذا زال غيرها. Nay, but it is the real bounties that will be, that will ever last, or that will last forever when the other bounties vanish and go away. وأنه ينبغي لمن وفق لعلم أو عمل أن يشكر الله على ذلك. And this indicates that whoever has been blessed with knowledge or with some deeds, that they should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. لِيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, so Allah may increase him in abundance from his bounty. وَلِيَنْدَفِ عَنْهُمْ الْإِعْجَابِ, and so they will not admire themselves. And this is where the Prophet comes, when the person starts thinking that he is, you know, he is it. He is it. And when we said that whenever you think you're it, that means you're not it. Whenever you think you made it, meaning you're far away. So we know, keep that in mind inshallah. فَيَشْتَغِلُوا بِالشُّكْرِ, so then you become over-occupied with thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you give some da'wah and then it works out, and you know, you give some da'wah means inviting others to Islam or inviting Muslims to Islam. Everybody needs da'wah. And you know, things work out, you don't sit there and you know, start thinking, well, I'm such a great, you know, I think I'm, you know, this and that. Rather, you try to busy yourself, huh, with thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah for this ni'mah, alhamdulillah for Allah allowing me to be involved in da'wah. Alhamdulillah. So what happens? You are busy thanking Allah, you don't have time to admire yourself, so it's a win-win situation for you. Otherwise, ولما كان الشكر ضده الكفر نهى عن ضده فقال ولا تكفرون. Now, when the opposite of thankfulness is being ungrateful, كفر, by the way, has more than one meaning. The linguistically or lexically speaking, a kafir, it comes from covering. Covering. That's why the those who are involved in
Dr. Leah, respect to us, we are planting small seed behind, like, you know, when you plant some kind of
rose
or
trees,
hiding.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It has to do with planting,
yeah.
and covering the actual seed. That's what linguistically it means. Legally, of course, it is a person covering the truth and staying upon falsehood. Yeah, and he's rejecting the truth by disregarding it, hiding or something to say, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. You see what I'm saying? So now that's one meaning, huh? Another meaning, which is usually associated with an-ni'mah, it says kufran al-ni'mah or kufr al-ni'mah, which means rejecting or hiding Allah's favor upon you, which is ungratefulness. Almost being negligent about Allah's favors upon you, so you're not grateful to Allah regarding them, so you become ungrateful. So here, the meaning is ungrateful. That's why they translate it in the book as ungratefulness. Otherwise, usually when you hear kufr, it means disbelief. Right? Kufr means rejecting the truth and disbelieving. This is one of the meanings. Of course, the Arabic language is rich. And even English language, the same word may have more than one meaning depending on the context. Any given word may carry hundreds of meanings. depending on the context. For example, say, I'm not going to give you an example. Sorry. I lost track. Anyway. Naam. So basically, wala takfurun. So Allah, when thankfulness is the opposite of being ungrateful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us not to do the opposite, which is wala takfurun. Al muradu bil kufri hauna ma yuqabilu shukr. What is intended, the Shaykh said, by kufr here is that which contradicts or opposes thankfulness, which is not being thankful, which is ungratefulness. فهو كفر النعم وجحدها. It is trying to hide Allah's bounties and rejecting it. وعدم القيام بها, and not fulfilling it, not fulfilling its rights, its due right. ويحتمل أن يكون المعنى عاما, and the Shaykh said it's possible that the meaning is also more general. فيكون الكفر أنواعا كثيرة. So then كفر may be of different kinds. أعظمه الكفر بالله. The greatest of that is disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم أنواع المعاصي, then all forms of disobedience, على اختلاف أنواعها وأجناسها, regardless of its kinds and forms, من الشرك فما دونه, beginning with shirk and whatever is this and that, lesser than that. So everything in essence is a form of kufr, but of course it's not the kufr that will take you outside of Islam, because if you disobey Allah, then you are doing kufr of the bounty of intellect or the limb. If Allah gave you sight, right? And that sight you're utilizing to look at haram, you're actually being ungrateful for the bounty of vision. So everything is considered a form of ungratefulness. The greatest of that is disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ascribing partners with Him, and then whatever is this and that. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, اشهد ان لا اله الا انت, استغفرك واتوب اليك.